Your Honor, is whoever is asking the question, just to give little pauses. And if I were in the room with you on a legal depo or any such legal procedure, I would simply raise my hand slightly if I needed you to slow down. But since we're not in that case, if I say pause, I'm just asking for a little pause or slow down if it's a very long question, so that we can have little pauses for me to interpret.
Okay, thank you.
We're back.
Thank you.
We're back on the record at 3:35 p.m.
Please proceed. Your witness.
Okay, Mr. Public Auditor. Okay, so NG calls Daniela Rosati, and who will be, and Marticia Palmer, who will be translating.
This is for the witness. Could you please say your name for the record?
Okay.
Your name? Please say your name.
My name is Daniela Rosati. Sorry, but I have a very bad line. Can you speak near the microphone?
I'm right next to you. Could you please state your name for the record?
Okay, thank you. My name is Daniela Rosati.
Okay.
D-A-N-I-E-L-E-R-O. S-A-T-I.
Okay, please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, and for the interpreter, could you please state your name?
Yes, Your Honor. Marticia Palmer, M-A-R-T-I-T-I-A, Palmer. Registered with the Judicial Council of California, number 700-127 for Italian and French.
Okay, could you please raise your right hand? And do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you will accurately and truthfully interpret the Italian language to English and the English language to Italian for the testimony of Mr. Daniele Rosati?
I do.
Thank you.
You can proceed.
Okay. Mr. Daniele, can you, Mr. Rosati, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, but if you go near the microphone, it could be better.
Okay. I'll try to speak as loudly as possible.
Okay. If you speak with this volume and also slowly, it could be better for me.
Sure.
Okay, now it's better.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Rosati, where do you work?
Dove lavora,
signor? I think that I can ask for the translation where I need, when it's difficult for me to understand, but if the question is clear, Mrs. Palmer, I can go ahead and I can answer all the questions in English.
Okay, fair enough.
This is it. Yes, I think during the cross-examination could be useful for me to have these helps.
Yes, so anytime just signal to me and I will interpret.
Yes, only to be sure that I understand the question and so matter. I usually work in English and I can go ahead in English without any type of problem.
D'accordo. Okay, all right.
Okay, grazie molto. Mm-hmm. Okay, please, Mr. Johnson, we can go.
Mr. Rosati, where do you work?
I work in NGEPS.
Okay. And what is your position at NGEPS?
I'm the Senior Vice President of Engineering, and I'm leading the engineering team of NGEPS.
Okay. I'd like to go through your educational credentials first. Where did you obtain your bachelor's degree?
I obtained my bachelor's degree in the 2007 at Politecnico di Milano. Politecnico di Milano is the first technical university ranked in Italy. I think last year was the 17th technical university in the worldwide ranking.
Okay. And what was your degree in?
I have a degree in electrical engineering.
Okay. And did you go on to obtain an advanced degree from there?
Yes, I attended the master's degree at with cum laude during this time, and then I decided to go ahead and to study also for a PhD course.
Okay.
in electrical engineering.
When did you receive your PhD?
I received my PhD in 2010, and cum laude, and as an European international prize for the more one of the most innovative thesis at this time, 10 years ago.
Okay. Have you ever taught?
Sorry, can you repeat, please?
Have you ever taught?
Am I insegnato?
Yes, I teach at Polytechnic of Milan. I teach at the course of electrical power plants for electrical engineer. It's one of the course of the last year of the bachelor degree in electrical engineering. And I'm teaching a part of this course that is dedicated to sizing of solar power plants combined with storage power plants.
Okay. And how many students do you teach each year?
I teach about from 40 to 60 students per year.
Okay. Have any of your students ever come to work for you afterwards?
Yes. Now I manage a team that is composed of 40, 41 engineers, and about 80% of their are my former students during the past.
Okay. Do you have any scientific publications?
Yes, I have 15 recognized scientific publications, three of these on international paper journal, reviewed, and also some patents.
Okay, about the publications first, are any of those specifically related to PV plus ESS or storage systems?
I think that 50% of these are directly related to the sizing of solar plus storage system, and also the other part are dedicated to microgrid optimization and also with using of a combined system, wind plus storage plus solar system. That is our know-how and one of the most important pillars of the technology of NGPS.
You mentioned that you have several patents earlier. How many patents do you have?
I have 6 patents personally, and but at the end, when I am an inventor, most of them are related to solar plus storage application. And my company, NGPS, has 130 patents and application, international application, worldwide recognized. Dedicated to hybridization of renewable system using battery storage and also hydrogen storage system.
Okay. You mentioned NGEPS and it was your company. How did NGEPS start?
I founded this company. At this time was MCM Energy Lab. It was a spin-off company, a startup of Politecnico di Milano. During my last year of my degree in engineering, electrical engineering, with four other guys, young engineers as me at this time, I founded the company 12 years ago. Then I was the CEO of this company. In 2015, we decided to merge my company with another spin-off company coming from Politecnico of Turin, that is the second most important technical university in Italy. This company was dedicated and has a know-how specialized on hydrogen storage application. My company was specialized on renewable plus battery energy storage application. We merged the two companies in 2015, and we listed the company, the new company. The name was Electro Power System. We listed this company in the public stock exchange market in Paris, in the Euronext index, and we created the EPS group. This company grew very fast during from the 2016 up to the 2018, and we was one of the most important storage company worldwide, recognized by Bloomberg Energy Finance, Navigant, McKinsey, all the most important analysts of the energy market. And in the 2018, Engie decided to acquire the company and both the 60% of NGPS, because decided to have a 40% is already floating in the Paris Stock Exchange market, and now we are already a public company and a listed company.
How much did Engie pay to acquire its 60% share in EPS?
Yes, Engie evaluates the company 108 million of euro. We founded the company investing 25,000 euro in the 2007, and at the end we sold the company for a very important price, more than 100 million euro in the 2018.
Okay. You mentioned certain patents that I think it was your testimony that Engie holds 130 patents as a company. Is that correct? Engie EPS has 130 patents. Is that correct?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay. I'm curious about what other research Engie EPS does. Does it conduct research in solar energy as well?
Yeah. Engie EPS invests about 5 million of euro in R&D activities. We have a team of 25 engineers, and we have to think that the 35% of our technical department are composed by PhDs on electrical engineering and electronic engineering. We invest a lot in R&D activities because we are a technological company, and we are part of the Engie research ecosystem, that is the ecosystem of the Engie labs dedicated to R&D of the Engie group.
Understood. What role do you take in research at Engie?
After the acquisition of NGPS, Engie asked me to work as a technical leader of the Engie group. I'm part of the technical steering group of the Engie group, and it's the group that define the investment in R&D of the Engie group. We have a lot of investment because we invest 220 million of euro per year in R&Ds, and the Engie ecosystem is a very huge and innovative R&D entities worldwide.
Okay. I'd like to go into specific experience that Engie has with respect to PV plus ESS systems. And if we could get even more specific, directly on islands and islanded systems.
Mr. Public Order, I'm going to object. We spent all morning listening to Anji's resume. We did that for 45 minutes this morning, and I don't understand why we're revisiting the resume this afternoon. I mean, my understanding was these guys were going to get on and, as engineers, and talk about the technical aspects of the bid.
Your Honor, we're just setting a background to get into that. One of the statements made by Mr. Rood during his testimony was that GlidePath was the only company that, I guess, understood the requirements and, I guess, followed the requirements of this invitation for bid. We're doing this in order to show that Engie was capable of understanding those requirements because of its history and experience in this field. And so there's no way that it would have misunderstood these requirements of the IFB and therefore followed the requirements of the
IFB. Nobody's disputing their resume or their ability, but that doesn't equal that they couldn't make a mistake. Smartest people in the world can make mistakes. We've heard the resume now for what's going on 57 minutes, if you include this morning. I mean, I'd like to see if we're going to get to the actual case.
Mr. Public Auditor, I believe that we're entitled to show our case. They were allowed to show their case, and now we're allowed to show our case. It's important for us to show our engineers' expertise and experience. We have Mr. Mingo this morning in terms of telling us about Engie's experience generally, and now we have an engineer and someone who worked on the proposal for Engie, and it's important to ask him his experience, just as we did with Mr. Rood. And Mr. Rood spent a couple of hours on the stand talking about his
mostly on cross-examination.
I'll allow it. We're going to get this whole presentation. Go ahead and continue. But soon get to the...
Okay, we'll get there quickly.
Sorry, but I think that Ms. Palmer is sharing his screen, her screen, and I think that is... Ms. Palmer, sorry, can you stop to share your screen?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. I was trying to set something up. Let me see. Okay, so go to my... and stop sharing.
Why don't we just... you just stop fiddling with the computer so that you don't mess up the connection. Just...
Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I didn't realize where it said enter... I'm looking to see where I stopped sharing. I didn't realize I had.
Okay.
Stop sharing. There we are.
Stop doing anything.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Okay. So does Angie have any experience working on PV plus storage systems on islands?
Angie Group installed more than 40 storage systems worldwide. We installed also 2,700 megawatts of PV, and I think that on islands, especially NGPS, has an important experience, and the Engie Group decided to vote us for this type of technology because we installed 27 of these 40 systems on islands, and if I remember, 16 of these are PV plus storage. We are a company specialized on microgrid, and microgrid are a specialist system for islands and remote area where the grid is a weak grid or there is not a connection with the national grid, and you want to use renewable plus storage system to go green and to increase the possibility to use this type of technology. Microgrid. We are a microgrid company, and we install the hotel system on islands all around the world.
Let's see. Based on your experience, what problems are unique to solar-powered microgrids on islands, if any?
Usually, based on this, because during the years, there is an evolution now in the solar cross-storage application for islands. Usually, you need a lot of skills on control of converters, and at the same time, usually there is you have a big constraints in the area, in the length that you are available for your PV, and for the PV installation, you have to optimize how you want to use this area, and you have to maximize the possible solar installation on the area, because usually on an island, you have a very small area that you can use for the installation of this. And the integration of solar of the solar production and the battery usually is the result of a complex optimization problem, especially if you want to increase the renewable penetration on the island without any type of problem on the grid dispatching and grid stabilization.
Is this Guam project unique in terms of projects that you have worked on in the past on islands?
Do you refer to the GPA phase 3 on Guam?
Yes.
But was unique in September 19 when there were the envelopes read out. And for us, the only unique point was the size at this time, because at this time, in September, was the largest PV plus storage system that we did at this time. You have to think that after 10 months, now is July, we did 5 systems greater than more biggest, bigger respect to the one project in Hawaii, in Abu Dhabi, in Dubai, in Australia, and so at this time the size was a unique point. But respect to the technology and respect to the architecture of the system, if you have experience in microgrids and islands, it's a normal it's a normal system. We realize a lot of systems similar to the one project in Lifu Highland, in Caledonia, in Australia, for example, Tasmania, also in Maldives, especially in Maldives, where the space was a big constraint at this time, in Chile. We realized the system in 23 different countries, and when you have to realize a system for an island, the requirements usually are very similar with respect to the GPA requirements of this tender. As this time was the site, the unique point, but now it's not, because there is a trend and there are a lot of solar plus storage system under development now. Yeah, and for this reason, I think that from a technology point of view, it seems very similar to all the 16 different systems that we installed on island before the one application.
Mr. Rezati, before we get into the design of this system, there are a few terms that I want to make sure that we understand correctly. The first terms are AC and DC. How are those terms important to this project?
In all the projects where you want to use solar and battery, usually you have a combination of AC system and DC system. AC is alternative current, are all the systems that we use normally in grids, into the grids for transmission, distribution, in our loads. On your house, there is the AC current as distribution system. But you have to think that solar panels and batteries are DC system. They produce electricity using a direct current. And to answer to this request, to start from a DC system and to have the possibility to inject the power into the grid that is AC, you need some converters, the electronic device that permit you to combine DC system with AC system.
Okay. There's another term that I want to discuss first. It's a nameplate capacity of a PV module. What does this mean?
Okay, as all the machine, you have a nameplate capacity, and then you have an actual power or the nominal rated power of the system. The nameplate capacity usually is a standard, is defined in a standard conventional condition, and especially for PV modules, the conventional the nameplate capacity is defined by the megawatt peak of the modules that you want to install. Usually megawatt peak is a nameplate definition, is the power that a PV modules can produce in some special condition, standard condition. I think that now is 25 Celsius degree as temperature. I think that is 77 Fahrenheit as a degree. And at the same time, with 1,000 watt per square meter, for example, in a special irradiation and with a special and defined temperature, the panel can produce the nameplate capacity. But it's only a nameplate, as for a car, for example. If you buy a car, you have a nameplate speed, that is the maximum speed indicated in your on your car, and at the same time, but it's very difficult because it's a power limit of the system. And it's defined also only in standard condition. You have to think that the largest part of the time, the system can produce a lower power respect to this power, because depending on the radiation and the temperature of the panel. And at the same time, you have to think that it's possible also to produce more power respect to the nameplate power in the case of the PV panels. Because if you have a very high irradiation, for example, we built a system in Chile, in the middle of a volcano area, when the sky is very clear, the temperature is very low, we install 100 kilowatt of PV panels, nameplate, peak, kilowatt peak, and we produce all the day 120, 125, because in this special condition we can also produce. It's only a nameplate, it's a number of rights brought in a labor. Usually is a conventional for a convention for engineer.
Okay. I'd like you to walk us through the design of NG's proposed plant. I think we have a poster that was created by your team. I'm going to bring that up now.
Okay.
For everybody's reference, this is...
But you can help me, you can share your screen, or I have to search the development directory.
I'm going to share my screen with you.
Oh, if you can, it would be very useful for me. Thank you.
This is NG exhibit, lowercase o. Could you hold on 1 second? Jared, could you pin Mr. Rosati's video?
I asked to control, I can control also the pointer if you want, and I can use my pointer. I asked you have to approve my request.
I'm allowing that now.
Okay. I think that now I can move LB. Okay. Thank you.
So could you please walk us through this design?
Okay, we prepared this poster to try to explain how usually a solar plus storage system work, and where in this tender what are the requirements asked by GPA and the requirements that drive and that the sizing of this system. And I try to explain in a simple way, and if it could be useful for you also to have some questions, so you can interrupt me and also to ask. Is a schematic of the system. You have on the right, we can start from this area. Here you have your PV array, the PV field. The PV field is an array of PV fields.
I don't necessarily want to interrupt it, but I think counsel is supposed to ask questions and then elicit responses from the witness, not the witness, testify about whatever he feels like.
Sure. Mr. Rosati, can you please start with an explanation of how this system works in the design, starting with the PV system, PV modules going towards the interconnection point.
Okay, yes, I'm starting from this. On the right, you can see my pointer. Okay, here, on the right in this schematic, you have the PV modules that you want to install in one site. Usually, these are the source of energy that you want to use. And normally, in this case, there was a requirement dedicated to this part of the system. We identify this as requirement number 3. That is an indication, if I remember in the amendment 13, where GPA asked to maximize the PV capacity within the sites, because this is normal in this type of application, because usually all the engineering team try to maximize the system to have the best possible solution. But you have to think that starting from this, the entire PV system is composed of the PV modules or the PV array, the array of the modules that you want to install, and a dedicated converter that is the second part of an important part of the system. And this part, the PV modules plus the PV converter, are the part of the system that work during the day, during the charging phase of the battery. As you see, the battery is in the middle of the system. This is the energy storage system. It's an array of a lot of batteries, in this case, all the supplier installed a different capacity. In our case, it's 300 megawatt hour of batteries. And in this case, as PV charging system, the converter that works during the day, we decided to install a DC-DC converter. You can also install an AC-DC converter, but in this case, it was very convenient to install a DC-DC converter because this can increase the efficiency, the entire efficiency of the system. But if you want, we can go in depth on this. And in this, it's important to understand that a PV array doesn't work without a dedicated converter, because it's the converter that extract the power from the PV array. If you install only a PV array without a converter, that could be a DC-DC, AC-DC converter, it's only a problem of architecture and efficiency of the system, but it's the converter that defines the power of the entire PV charging system. And it's the converter that drives and extract the power from the PV field. In this case, the converter extracts the power from the PV field and push this power into the energy storage system, into the battery, for all the day, from the morning, from six, about 6 a.m. during the morning up to the 6 p.m. during the afternoon. And this is the idea. And the normal generation, and the normal curve generated by the sum of the PV modules with the converter that drive and extract the power from this field is a system. This is during the day the normal power curve generated by this system, and this is the power curve that goes into the energy battery. It's the power on this axis and the time, the hours of the day, in this other axis. In this case, GPA decided to fix a second requirement relative to and define the ratio between the charging and the discharging megawatt rating of the energy storage system. This is the requirement that is under discussion, because it is the requirement number 2 that I remember is into the amendment 15. And this requirement defines that there is a maximum power here after the second converter that we have to install into the system, that is the ESS converter for the discharging phase of the converter. This is the converter that drives the power that you want to extract from the battery during the night and to push into the grid. There is a first phase during the day, extracting the power from the PV modules and push this power into the ESS, and is the PV charging system converter that drives this operation. During the night, is the first converter is shutting down, and there is the second converter that extracts the power from the battery stored during the day and push this power into the grid. And in this case, the requirement number 2 defines the maximum power here, the discharging power of the CSS, that is, we can install up to 40 megawatt in this case, as power that this converter can extract from the battery and push in this line. And at the same time, they fixed a ratio between the power of this converter and the power of the other converter. In this case, the power, this is the fix, the ratio between the power that we can use for discharge the battery and the power that we can use for charge the battery, to charge the battery. And this ratio, it's important that it have to be higher than 145%. Then you have a transformer that adapts the voltages of your power plant respect to the voltages of the interconnection grid. Here, there is the interconnection point with the grid defined by the client, in this case, defined by GPA, they fix another requirement directly. It is the requirement number one. And the GPA defined that the maximum export capacity of the system, of the entire system, have to be lower than 30 megawatt AC, because this is a limit usually that is present in the old meter and is the typical limit that the grid operator defined, that is the limit that is acceptable for their respect to a possible grid impact study, the impact that the system can have on the transmission line, on the stability of the grid, on the ampacity of the line that connects this new part of the one grid, in this case, with all the other loads and the generation system. This is an explanation respect to what GPA asked and what is the normal operation of the system. Usually, we also prepare the second poster, yeah. Because
Let me ask a question first, though. So, are there any analogies that you often use to describe how a system like this works to somebody who may not be familiar with it?
Okay. It's a question for me.
Yes, it's a question for you.
Can you repeat, please, because the line is not so good.
Sure. Do you ever use any analogies to describe how a system like this works to somebody who is not an electrical engineer?
I propose to use the water analogy. That is a normal analogy that is used in all the university to train and to teach the electrical engineer respect to the normal operation of the system, because it's I think that there are 100 scientific papers dedicated to the water analogy respect to a water network in analogy with an electrical network. It's normally used in all the university because it's simple for the student to understand how the system can work, because the flow of the water is very similar to the flow of the electrons that normally are the definition of the current. The pressure in a water system is the same of the has the same role of a different of a voltages a difference in voltages in the electrical system. For example, the level of a tank is very similar to the state of charge of a battery. And for this reason, usually the water analogy is a very simple way to explain how an electrical system can work to a young student, to a young engineer, but also to all the people that are not normally manage the megawatt peak of a solar system or the power of the converter and so. Okay. For this reason, I propose to use the water analogy because it's a standard in our field.
Okay. For the record, I am now directing your attention to Exhibit Q, which is ENG-097. Do you recognize this document?
Okay. The water analogy.
Have you ever seen this document before? This diagram?
I prepared this diagram directly with my team. Yes, I prepared this diagram because it could be useful to understand how the GPA system can work. And it's simple to understand how the requirements are applied in the system and what means in with a simple idea and using a simple explanation.
Could you please walk us through this analogy then?
Okay, the analogy is this. Okay, we can use as an analogy the PV modules are very similar to a basin that want to collect the water from the rain. As a basin that collects water from the rain, the PV modules have the possibility to collect electrons from the irradiation of the sun. But this is the same idea. You have a basin and you define a space, a maximum space that you can use for the basin, and this is the same for the degree models. You have a defined space, you have a site, and you have to cover the site with all the models. And usually, our job during this type of tenders and this type of bid is to define the best shape of this basin. And it's the same for the PV field, is to define the best shape of the PV field to maximize the water that you collect, or the, with the analogy, the electrons that you want to collect. But if you want to have the final target, the final goal of the system is to push water into the pipe network. In this case, we go on the left. In this case, we can schematize the interconnection point as a tap, and we want to open and close this tap, GPA, we want to open and close this tap during the heating when they need power to cover the requirement and the peak requirement that usually there is during the heating in an inlet system to cover all the requirement that comes from people that are at home and so, but usually there is a peak of load during the heating, and they want to manage this tap to define what is the flow of water that they need. This is the same as the power of the system that the system has to produce.
If I could stop you real quick. So in this analogy, what is the corresponding part to the DC-DC converter?
To permit to the system to have a flow of water from the basin up to the tap at the end of the system, you need to install a tank that is the same of a battery. In this case, we can schematize the battery as a tank, and you need to install also two pumps. These are the important part, because without the pumps, the system can work. You cannot have a flow of water into your system. And the two pumps are the two converters. You have the DC-DC converter is the pump on the right that works during the day to extract the flow of water from the basin and to push this flow into the tank. And also, you have to install a second pump that is, in this case, in the analogy, is the inverter that works during the night to extract the water from the tank and to push this water into the tap and into the grid. This is the idea. The transformer is similar to a pipe with a defined size, a defined area, because it's a limitation of the maximum power, of the maximum flow of water that you can push into the network. In this case, the requirements was relative, as for all this type of application, to the size of the two pumps, because to have the possibility to charge slowly during the day your tank and to discharge quickly during the evening the same tank, GPA define a requirement relative to a ratio between the size of the two pumps. They want the small pumps to extract the water from the basin during the day, and want a powerful pump that push the water from the tank into the grid during the night. This is the idea. And in this analogy, I think that there was a misinterpretation of glypath of the requirement, because they decide to install a smaller basin when they simply have to use a smaller pump. This is the this is our explanation and the result of this water analogy.
Okay, so I just have one last question, or possibly one last question. So using this analogy, what was the size of the pump to move energy from the basin to the ESS module? What was the size of NG's pump?
The pump that you want to use during the day is the charging system that you want to use during the day. And in this case, we have to respect the limit of the 145. GPA fixed the limit in the size of the pump on the left, that is 40 megawatt. if we want to respect this limit, you have to, it's important to have a maximum power of the pump on the right, the pump that you use during the day, that have to have, in this case, at maximum 27 megawatts. But you have to think that these are the maximum, then you can reduce, because these are the nameplate of the pump, but then the pump will work at the actual, at the nominal power that you define in your design of the system. You have to install a pump, for example, that can move 5 gallons per hour, if you want to move 4 gallons per hour, because the 5 gallons is the nameplate of the pump, it is a limit. If you work all the day to this point, usually you destroy your machine. And in this case, the ratio is between the two power of the two converter, and we fix it, this, and we, as engine, I controlled with my team to respect this requirement, as for the nameplate of the two converter, because we installed a 36 MVA converter in the inverter, in the converter on the left, and 24 nameplate megawatt DC-DC converter, but with a normal power, with a rated power of the two converter that are 30 megawatt for the converter for the discharging phase and 20.7 megawatt for the converter that charge the battery during the day, that is the PV charging system converter.
Okay, so I'm going to go back to the other chart, so that the inverter, when this plant is operating, what is the rate of discharge for the battery? The maximum rate of discharge for the battery.
The maximum is that you can discharge, you can install a converter with a maximum power up to 40 megawatts, but then you have the requirement number one that limits the power that you can push into the grid to 30 megawatts. For this reason, you have to respect the requirement number one, and your converter have to work at 30 megawatts plus the small losses that you have during this part of the of your power plant. But you can install a converter up to 40, but this converter, it's important that have to be a rated power at that is very near 30 megawatt, because you have to respect this this requirement number one.
Okay, so what is the rated power of the inverter that NG plans to put in this plant?
We decided to install a nameplate of 36 with a rated power of 30.
Okay. And now, what is the nameplate power and the rated power for the DC-DC converter?
We decided to install a nameplate power for the DC-DC converter of 24 to respect the ratio, because it's 36, 24, you have 150% of the ratio for nameplate. And as rated power, this, we decided to install a converter with a rated power of 20.7, because in this way we respect the requirement number two, also relative to the ratio between the rated power of the inverter, that is 30, and the rated power of the DC-DC converter, that is 20.7.
We have no more questions at this time. We will pass the witness. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Well, let me ask. Hi, Mr. Rossetti. My name is Joe Rosano. How are you? Can you hear me at all?
Sorry, but the volume is very, very low if you speak so far respect to the microphone. If it's possible, I could ask you to speak near the microphone to have a best understanding. I'm sorry, but there is this limit.
That's okay. Can you hear me better now?
Oh, yes, very good. Thank you very much.
All good. Thank you. Well, I'm going to use it, so.
Okay.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, I guess you can move it that way.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Mark. Hi, my name is Joe Rosano. Can you see me?
Yes, I can see you. I could be useful to have this exhibit as a shared screen because we can also stop the sharing, and it's better to see you bigger.
I know, but I'm going to use some of the stuff that you just talked about since you showed it to me, so we can leave it up if you don't mind.
Okay, the line is not so good, and I asked to Ms. Palmer to help me for the question, because I want to be sure that I understand your question and to answer to your question.
Okay, so I'll go slow, and I'll let her translate my questions to you.
Yes, okay. Little pauses, please, counselor.
Okay, thank you very much for this, but it's a limitation of the video conference and so, because we are very far, and the line is has some limitation.
I understand. I'll try to work through it with you. And if you don't understand a question that I ask or you can't hear me, just let me know, and we'll work through it together.
Okay.
Okay. So my name's Joe Rosano, and I represent GlidePath in this matter. Okay.
I'm just going to... Mi chiamo Joe Rosano, represento GlidePath in questo caso.
Grazie.
Thank you.
Thank you, and nice to meet you.
Thank you. If we could bring up your water example. Mr. Rossetti, in this water example that you showed us, the basin, I guess, would be the PV field. Is that correct?
Allora, in questo esempio dell'acqua che ci ha mostrato, questo bacino sarebbe il PV, il fotovoltaico, vero?
Sì, yes, it's correct.
And then, when the basin fills up, it comes down into what you're saying is the DC-DC converter. Is that correct?
Poi il bacino che sale poi e poi scende va nel convertitore DC-DC, vero?
It's not totally true, because it's the converter that defines how many water want to extract to the basin. It's not automatically. If the converter, if you shut down the pump, you don't have any flow of water into your system. It's the same with the PV modules. If you have PV modules, if you have the sun, but if you don't have the DC-DC converter that is working, or the converter, the PV charging system that is working, you don't have any type of current.
So the DC-DC converter pulls the current into the converter, is that correct?
Allora, il convertitore DC-DC tira la corrente e la tensione nel sistema, vero?
Yes, it's correct, and push this power current into the energy storage system.
Okay. So, when you said the nameplate of the DC-DC converter is 24, you sort of gave me the example of that's the maximum speed of a car, is that right?
Allora, yeah. Quando ho detto che la potenza, ha capito?
Yes, I understood. It's the same of a car, because you usually in a car you have the maximum value that is stamped on your tachymeter, and you say, oh, it's very, it's a car that go up to 150 miles per hour. But then you touch this point only a few times, I think, during the normal operation, the normal working of this car. Because if you want to work, it's the same of a car, because if you normally want to drive at 100 miles per hour, you have to buy a car that is a nameplate, that is a number written, wrote in the tachymeter, that is 150, for example. The 150 is the nameplate, is the maximum speed, and is a designed value defined in some standard condition. And usually is higher respect to the normal operation of this machine. It's the same for all the machines.
And if I understood you correctly, there is a restrictor plate on this car that only allows it to go 20.7. Is that correct?
E se ho capito bene, c'è una restrizione che lo permette di andare solo a 20,7, vero?
Yes, because you have to think that a converter work is an electronic device and work only with their with its software, its firmware. There is not a converter that is capable to work without a software. Also, that now also our car work only with if you have the computer, the onboard computer that can work. It's very similar. You have a software in the converter, and usually when you buy a converter, as in our case, or when you build a converter, you define the nameplate, the nominal plate, the nameplate power of the converter, that is the power that you use to design the converter as limiting power of the system. But then you fix into the brain of the converter, in the software, in the control board of the converter, the rated power, the maximum power that you want to use in this power plant. And it's not possible to have a converter that can work without a software.
And so it's the rating, the 20.7, that controls the pull from the basin, is that correct?
Allora, è il tasto del 20.7 che controlla dal bacino, vero?
The extraction of the converter extracts the power from the basin, from the PV field, and it's the converter that works to follow the power curve that we see in the postern A in this case, when you define a maximum limit, so the maximum power that this converter can work at the maximum power at 20.7, that is fixed. There are the protection relay of the converter, are software and then hardware limits that fix a cap of the maximum power, the rated power that the converter can, the converter can work at maximum at its power. Usually using a set point that is calculated by the energy management system, the controller of the power plant. The controller of the power plant can send a message to the converter and fix, oh, now we have to work between from 0 to up to 20.7. And during the day, you work at 12, 40, 15. During the morning, the power goes up, is kept at 20.7 during the central part of the hour of a sunny day. And then during the last hours of the afternoon, you have a reduction of this power. This is the normal shape of the waveform of the power curve produced by a PV charging system.
Okay, so all I wanted to know was when it pulls the water from the basin, it's limited to the 20.7 rate. Is that correct? At the peak. I understood your answer, and you meant at the peak it would never go over 20.7. Is that what you said?
Cioè che quando tira l'acqua dal bacino, il limite è 20.7 come picco, vero? È quello che ha detto lei?
Yes, that's true.
Okay. So never would it be able to pull more than 20.7 because of that limitation, correct?
Non potrebbe mai contenere più del 20.7 picco, vero?
Yes, because in this case there is a trip of the protection of the converter.
I didn't understand that. What do you mean a trip? The connection to the converter?
Usually you have the converter with the software and you fix this limit. It is before is a software limit and then there is also hardware limit. When you touch 20.7, the machine limits the production to 20.7. If for any reason there is a problem in the software, there is a problem in a sensor, for example, that measure the power and so on, and you have a possible peak up to 20.7, there is a trip. The converter shut down, there is a total shutdown, is an emergency shutdown of the system, and all the power plant is stopped. This is the deal, because you go over the design limit of the system.
Okay, so when that happens and it trips and it stops, and it's continuing to rain, all of this water fills up, and what happens when the basin overflows here? What happens to that power?
Can you translate, please?
Sì, sì. Allora, cosa succede quando continua a piovere e c'è ancora più acqua che c'era all'inizio e continua
okay.
Continua l'acqua a sorgere, ha capito? Allora, okay. Cosa succede?
Yes, it's the same of an hydroelectric system that if continue to rain and you not extract the water from the basin, you have the possibility the rain goes, for example, into a river. You come to the maximum level and then the water goes out in another system. In the PV modules, if you don't extract the power from the PV, it's not a power producer that is, there are not losses. It's simply power that is not produced. Could be available with a bigger converter, with a bigger tank. If you enlarge all the pipe, all the pans, all the tank, you can extract more water from the basin. But if you don't need it, you don't have a possible production. In this analogy, it's the same thing. You have the water is available, but you don't need this water into your pipeline, and the water goes out.
Now, I heard you earlier say that the reason for the 20.7 is because you had to respect the requirements of GPA, correct?
Lei ha detto prima che doveva rispettare i requisiti di GPA del 20.7. Ha detto questo in precedenza, vero?
Yeah, yes, because the requirement was clear but it's normal in all this type of system to have an asymmetric power of the two pans. You want to have a smaller pan for charging and a powerful pan to discharge. And as shown in the document that is shared, the limit is after the pan, is between the pan and the tank, is not a limit between the basin and the tank and the pan. As we indicated, in our opinion, our idea, reading the proposal of Kleipaff, and so is that probably they misunderstood the requirement and they fixed the limit not at the output of the pan, but in the shape and the dimension of the basin.
If you didn't have requirement number two, would you have built that differently?
Se lei non aveva avuto questo requisito numero due, l'avrebbe costruito in modo diverso?
Ma usually could be the requirement number two is normal present in a PV plus storage system for an island. Eh? We realize a system. And in this case, GPA defined this ratio, 145. In other cases, for example, now we bid the larger system in Saudi Arabia. In this case, it's a very similar system for, it's bigger because it's a 1,100 megawatt hour system. And in this case, the final customer defined a ratio between the number of the hour that for the duration of the charging phase and the duration of the discharging phase. Usually you have a limit in the ratio of the two duration. You can have a limit in the ratio of the power of the converter. At the end, it's the same application. You want to charge slowly the battery and then you want to discharge quickly the battery. This is the idea, but it's common. I think that we can change the 1%, 2%, you can optimize this ratio could be 140, 150, but usually it's present. And the design is always in line with this.
So, okay, so my what I heard you say was all island systems are like this. Is that correct?
Lei ha detto che tutti I sistemi sulle isole sono fatti in questo modo.
The larger part of the system in island are made in this way, depending of the requirement of the grid operator. But if you want to time shift energy, to you want to use the sun and to produce electricity during the day, and you want to use this electricity during the evening when it's critical for the grid to use electricity because the demand goes up, and so at the end you need a system. You need a system very similar to this. We realized a system very similar in Lifu, for example, in New Caledonia, also in Tasmania for Flinders Islands, a very very similar system in Cerro Pabellón for Enel. In this case, before the energy acquisition, was a 100% renewable system that we have to cover the 100% of the load for all the year. In this case, it's a total of grid system. And when you have a system similar to this, you need this asymmetric definition of the converter.
Okay, so I guess my question again was, all island systems require this. Was that your way of saying yes?
Allora, di quello che ho capito, lei sta dicendo che tutti i sistemi sulle isole impongono questo, cioè è necessario, non è vero?
No, because it depends on the target of the final customer. How many renewable want to use? If you want to use a 30% of renewable, you can have a different scheme. If you want to use a 100, if you want to have a roadmap and to go up to 100% of renewable, if you want to shut down your thermal power plant, you have to install a system with this type of requirement and with this type of architecture. And it depends on the target. In this moment, we are moving. During the past, I think that the system that we installed was 30-35% has this type of scheme. One that goes with the idea to go up to 100% in some islands. But there are, during the past especially, where the cost of the battery was higher respect to the cost that is now possible to have. During the past, there was also a system that has a less percentage of time shifting of the energy. In this case, the scheme and the ratio between the converter could be different.
Okay, so I guess what I just heard was, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, it is the owner who dictates how the system is to be built, and GPA dictated that it be built this way. Is that correct?
Allora, di quello che ho capito, è sempre il proprietario, la persona che eroga il lavoro, che decide quello che sarà fatto per quanto riguarda il percentuale di energia da erogare o generare.
Yes, it's correct. And it's always the owner, the final customer, that define the IFB and the technical specification. And but in this case, it was in line with and standard of the market for a system for islands, especially in the last 18 months, because you have to think that in the last 18 months, Bloomberg Energy Finance defined that there are 29,000 megawatt hour of storage system dedicated to time shifting that are under construction. And a large part of us of these are dedicated to islanded system, off-grid system. And so, as I said, when we built it 1 year ago, there was the largest time shifting system in the world. Now, after this, we built that 5 system bigger respect to the one. It's a trend now. Thanks also to the cost of the battery that goes down, that is driven by the penetration of electrical vehicles.
Okay, so I guess what I just heard you say was, at the time of the award in September of 2019, this project on Guam was the largest one you'd ever won. Is that correct?
Di quello che ho capito, che quando è stato aggiudicato nel settembre del 2019 a voi a Guam, era il progetto più grande che avevate mai fatto, vero?
Yes, at this time it was the largest.
And so all of the projects you described before, none of them were as large as this project, is that correct?
Allora, di quello che ho capito, tutti i progetti che avete fatto in precedenza non erano della stessa grandezza di questo. Questo era il massimo come grandezza, vero?
Was the largest at this time. You have to think that this type of system, solar storage system,
Mr. Rosetti, all I want to know is,
Just
confirm that in September of 2019, this was the largest project Angie had worked on. Is that correct? Or had been awarded. I apologize. Had been awarded.
Allora, di quello che ho capito, nel settembre del 2019, questo aggiudicamento a voi del progetto Aguam era il più grande che avevate mai fatto, vero?
No, it's incorrect, because as Engine, we realized also bigger system respect to this, especially for solar, and also for solar plus storage, but with a different percentage of time shifting, we are realizing the system in Mexico.
I understand, and, sir.
But
I
sorry, because but I can close my answer, or it's possible that you can interrupt me as you like. What is the engagement rules?
I'm trying to allow you to answer as long and lengthy as you like, but I really have mostly yes and no questions, and while I respect you and I respect that you want to give me the answer, I mean, stuff about how Bloomberg did this and that, I don't really need to know those things.
You have to think that is my job, and it's a part of the... I work in this field and from 12 years, and this part, I think that could be useful to understand also the market, and that this system is not so strange. It's a normal system, and if you do this type of job, if you want to install solar storage system in islands, you know this type of technology. If you come from grid-connected system, and it's the first time that you see a PV plus storage, oh, it's a very strange system. But if you do this job, it's a normal job. It's our job from 12 years to install this type of system. And then Engie installed 2,700 megawatt of solar system, 1,700 in the US. And together with us, they both asked to install and to propose this type of technology, especially in the Pacific area.
I understand. You're very passionate about what you do.
Yes, sorry about that. This is the point, sorry.
And you're a teacher, and I've taught law school classes too. It's very exciting to share your knowledge, and I appreciate that. But if we do it this way, we'll be doing this for days, and I'd rather do it just for, you know, another month.
Okay. Short answer, okay.
So I guess where we left off was in September of 2019, this was the largest project awarded, right? You said it was unique because it was so, the size was large, right?
Allora, questo nel settembre 2019 era il più grande progetto che avevate mai avuto come progetto aggiudicato, vero?
For a PV plus storage for an island, yes, was only for the size was the biggest at this time. But for a PV plus storage on an island, that is our best application. For other system, we have also bigger system installed.
Okay, thank you. And so all the other systems you described to us in the first hour of your testimony, they were all smaller, correct?
Allora, tutti gli altri sistemi che lei ci ha descritto prima erano tutte più piccole, vero?
Yes, correct.
Now, you said you were purchased, your company, and I misplaced the name, but I'm sure you'll remember. The name of your company that was bought for 100-some-odd million was bought by Angie in 2018. Do you recall that testimony?
Allora, ha detto che la sua società, che lei conoscerà bene il nome, è stato acquistato da Angie nel 2019, vero?
I don't know if it's 2018, but the name of the company is EPS, and was EPS before the acquisition. After the acquisition, we changed the name in Engie EPS.
I see.
And the EPS was acquired in January 2018.
Okay, thank you. And did you work on the technical proposal that was submitted by Angie?
E lei ha lavorato sulla proposta tecnica che è stato presentato da Engie?
I'm the vice president of engineering, and in my role I coordinated the technical team that worked on this bid. We have today, I coordinated 20 people, 20 engineers that work on this from four different teams. Because as NGVS, we had the technical lead for the wrap of the sizing and the definition of the system. And the, also NG Solar worked with us for the maximization and optimization of the PV, so of the PV field, especially respect to east-west solution that we proposed to maximize the energy produced by the system from Paris and also from the India. I had a support. And then we had also a support in Guam because the team of Mr. Darimingo supports us as our arm on the field with the support also of the TGI Engineering, if I remember. But I coordinated the team. I was the technical responsible for this bid, and my and I reviewed the bid.
And when did you first become involved with the bid proposal? When were you assigned this by ANGI?
E quando ha cominciato lei a partecipare a questa gara d'appalto, cioè quando è che ENGIE le ha dato questo, questo dovere, questo progetto?
In January 2019, and but before, a part of the team that then goes into my team, the, especially the Darin Ming and so, worked also before in the 2018 to have the survey of the sites and so. But I started to lead the team in the January 2019, 8 months before the bid.
Okay. The other islands where you, other than Hawaii, obviously, the other islands that you built these systems or systems similar to this, maybe without the load shifting capability. None of them were in the United States, is that correct?
Allora, tutti gli altri sistemi, a parte Hawaii, dove avete costruito questi sistemi, non parliamo del carico di spostamento. They were where, did you say, counselor, for the end part?
They were not in the United States.
Non erano negli Stati Uniti, vero?
As you said, we won an important project in the Hawaii Phase 2 Phase 2 bid. Was is very similar to one. It's a 60 megawatt PV, 240 megawatt tower AC of storage. It's a large PV plus storage system. It's one of the largest awarded by ECO and is in Hawaii. You have to think that I answer to your question. Only in Hawaii. As U.S. territory, we have an islanded system with a total time shifting, in, as in this case, because on the mainland, ENGIE built that 1,700 megawatt of solar system, and in any case, solar plus storage system, but not with a 100% time shifting system. But we have to think also that in the Pacific area, we have a project in Palau, as I think you know, we have a project in Samoa, Vanuatu, Tahiti, master the system in Caledonia, so Pacific area that I think that are not U.S. territory but are very similar to one, we have a lot of experience.
The system in Palau, is it built?
Il sistema Palau è stato costruito?
No, we presented the we bid it to the tender and we are waiting for the result of the tender.
Right. Just like in Hawaii, it's not constructed yet, correct?
E come a Hawaii non è stato ancora costruito, vero?
Hawaii is not built, but is awarded. We awarded the system. We are starting to plan the construction of the system now.
Understood. Earlier, you told me that if the photovoltaic array is not connected to the DC-DC converter, you can't push.
Counselor, I'm not hearing you.
Sorry.
I got the photovoltaic array was not connected to the DC converter, did you say?
Why don't you start over?
Yeah, I think I should start over. I think what I was trying to say was if the photovoltaic array or the PV field.
Yeah.
If it, I think he testified earlier if these two things are not connected, then they will not work. Is that. And I just want to confirm
now,
that.
Connected to the DC converter? Was that the end of it?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Counselor. Allora, se la schiera fotovoltaico non è connesso al convertitore DC, non può funzionare, è vero questo fatto?
Yes, it's correct.
Okay. And so the inverse would also be true, that if the converter was not attached to the array field, the converter would not work.
E lo stesso è il contrario anche vero, cioè se il convertitore DC non era connesso alla schiera fotovoltaico, non funzionerebbe lo stesso. Al contrario, vero?
Yes, it's true. Absolutely.
How many Guam procurements have you worked on in your career?
Quante approvvigionamenti a Guam avete lavorato, cioè che si trovano a Guam nella sua carriera?
It's the first time for me in Guam, the system is very similar, and this is a strategic area for us now.
Okay.
But this is the first bid that we propose in Guam.
And have you ever been to Guam?
E lei mai stato a Guam?
Not yet, but my team visited 2-3 times, I don't remember, but I think 3 times, the Guam during the bidding phases.
Okay, and so you personally have no experience with Guam's grid, is that correct?
Allora, lei personalmente non ha esperienza con la schiera di Guam, vero?
Personally, no, but I'm an engineering team that has this type of study, that did this type of study and this type of analysis. I visited Palau at this time. I passed in Guam to go to Tokyo, but my team, but it's similar, the system is very similar to all the other systems of the islands.
Including the load shifting capability, they're all the same?
Incluso la capacità di carico, è tutto lo stesso?
If there is a requirement relative to the load shifting, yes, we realize that a large number of the system that we realized before as the load shifting, as in this case, for islands.
Now, you told me you have several patents. Are any of them U.S. patents?
Lei ha diverse di queste patents, tra questi ci sono anche quelli degli Stati Uniti?
Yes, personally I have 2 personal patents in the US for microgrid using wind farms in this case, and a combination of wind farm with storage and solar. 2 personal patents recognized in the US, and relative to my PhD thesis at this time.
And I think I heard you say you've written about 50 articles about photovoltaics and storage systems. Is that correct?
50 is too much. It's usually as a researcher, not an industrial engineer that wrote a so high number of papers. 15, and I wrote these during my career and my PhD. But 15, not 50, sorry.
I understand now, thank you. And you said you wrote them all during when you were going to school.
Le ha scritto quando era a scuola?
No, after my bachelor degree, during the PhD, the philosophical doctoral studies in Bruce, and during the years of my careers, a large part during the first phase of my career.
Are you able to access the exhibits that that we have provided to the public auditor? If I was to ask you to...
Lei ha potuto accedere ai reperti che noi abbiamo dato al revisore pubblico?
Yes, I had.
Okay. Did you assist Anji with its the brief that it filed here in the Office of Public Accountability, that it be hearing brief.
Lei ha aiutato Engie per quanto riguarda l'atto di citazione, il dossier del caso che è stato depositato all'ufficio di pubblica responsabilità?
It was a working team. Was a working team and from the technical part and the technical responsible for the project and my team and me wrote directly the, some parts, some suggestions to the, our lawyers to propose all the documentation.
Okay. So if I was to ask you about some of the contents of that document, do you think you could answer the questions or?
Allora, se io dovessi porle le domande sul contenuto di questo documento, del dossier, lei potrebbe rispondere alle mie domande?
If you point out the document and we can read it together, I can use it. Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to ask if you can go to the exhibits that GlidePath filed. And if you could bring them up on your screen. Do you have a screen in front of you or no?
Lei ha uno schermo davanti a sé per poter vedere questi reperti presentati da GlidePath?
Yes, this is a video conference room used in my headquarters and I have a large screen in front of me I can see. It could be useful for me that, for example, I don't know, but now is I think that Mr. Johnson is sharing the screen. If he can help me and go to the document and so could be most effective and we don't lose time.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a binder. I think
he has it.
Electronically, yeah. Maybe, but
I can do it, but it takes time.
No, that's fine. He'll help. So, 3-88. Okay, so we're looking at Angie's proposal. Do you recognize it?
Questa è la proposta di Angie. Lo riconosci questo davanti a sé?
Yes, I reviewed and approved this document.
Okay. And in the top, in the middle portion, just above the grid, there's a sentence there.
Allora, nella porzione in mezzo, al di sopra della rete, c'è una frase.
And could you just read that sentence to me? Can you see it?
Lo riesci a vedere? Can you make it a little larger?
Yes, but the quality of the scan is very low. Can such high duration data reproduction will be?
Curtailed.
Would not be charged for the energy produced by the PV and stored in the BESS. On such, I think that is the first. On such high radiation days, PV production will be intentionally curtailed. In this case, GDA will be not charged. Will not be charged for the energy produced by the PV and not stored in the BESS. This is the explanation relative to the what is the curtailed power.
Right, okay. So that was what you and I were talking about earlier about the water flowing out of the basin and into the river, right?
Abbiamo parlato prima dell'acqua che veniva fuori dal bacino e andava nel fiume.
Because this is usually it's important, and I push my team to explain this point, because usually when you speak about curtailed, the customer can understand that it's a power produced and losses. But in this case, in the PV is not produced, because the converter don't extract the power from the PV. And is not produced is not paid. It's important to defend this.
I understand that. So GPA does not have to pay for that power. It's clear. It's clear to me.
Because this power doesn't exist. It's not produced. Check. There is not a watt meter that can measure this. It's not produced. You say, today there is the sun. In this condition, the system can produce at maximum this, but then it's the converter that defines how many power you want. And the difference is not produced, is not possible to measure, is not a real, the Cartesian power is not a real power, and it's not possible to measure, and it's not, and for this reason, usually, is always not paid. It's a difficult, I don't know if it,
that's
if
okay, we're going to move on to it. I understand what you said, thank you.
Okay, no, I'm sorry. If you, I can try another way if you want.
No, that's
okay.
We're going to go to another page.
Okay.
160. So this is part of the Amendment 17 to GPA's IFB. Have you seen that before?
Questo fa parte dell'emendamento numero 17 all'invito alla gara d'appalto da parte della GPA.
Yes, it's not the first time that I see this page.
I'm sorry, I said 17, it's 13. I apologize.
Okay, it's not the first time. You have to think that I am the manager of the team, and it's my team that work on this document and prepare all. I only recognize the document, and so, but I remember this because it's an important document for this discussion, and I read this during the review and then during the preparation of the document for this discussion.
Okay, thank you. Can you give me a definition of what you understand as a PV charging system?
Mi può dare una definizione di quello che è un sistema di carica fotovoltaica? Di carica.
Okay, we are speaking about charging, and charging is to battery, because the only part of the system that you can charge in a PV bus storage is the battery. And for this reason, a PV charging system is a charging system that charges the battery from the PV.
Okay.
Now, charging is the key word.
Okay. Can you tell me what is the definition? I mean, you teach many classes and you teach all the students about, you know, electrical engineering. What is the definition of PV installation? When you go to teach your students about that, what do you tell them that definition is?
Allora, lei ha definito quello che è l'ingegneria elettronica e come insegna ai suoi studenti quello che è l'installazione di un sistema fotovoltaico, PV.
Okay, the PV installation usually is a sum of different components. You have the PV modules, all the PV modules connected in parallel and series compose the PV array or the PV field, as defined in the same case. Then there is the structure that does all the mechanical parts to fix the PV and so. Then there is cables, the converter, the transformer, and so the grid. All the system, the entire system, it's a PV installation. It's the sum of all the components that you have from the modules up to the interconnection point, usually, in a pure PV system.
Okay, so I understand that definition to be what you just said. I'm just going to repeat what I think I heard you say so we're clear, okay?
Allora, io ho capito, credo, quello che lei viene di spiegarmi. Adesso ripeterò quello che lei ha detto per cercare di capire se siamo chiari.
Ok.
Va bene?
Okay.
I think I heard you tell me the definition of PV installation is the sum total of the entire system. Is that correct?
In quello che ho capito, lei mi ha detto che l'installazione fotovoltaico è il totale di tutti i vari componenti, vero?
It's not total, it's dedicated, the part dedicated to the PV. It's the PV field plus the converter and the connection of this converter to the other part of the system. But it's the all the components dedicated to the PV. Or to the PV part of the system. Because if you have PV plus storage, it's the sum of all the system. If you have a PV plus storage, you have the PV installation and then the storage installation. And the sum of the two are the PV plus storage.
So let's make sure I understand. PV installation in your definition is PV plus the converter attached to the battery, correct?
Allora, di quello che ho capito, l'installazione della PV è il PV che è attaccato alla batteria, o connesso alla batteria, vero?
Yes, in this case, if you remember my poster,
that's good. I just want to know, that's what you think it is. Thank you. How about the term, same thing, you're going to teach me, like you teach all your students, what is the definition of PV capacity?
Mi può dire, come se fosse uno studente suo, che cos'è la capacità fotovoltaica o quei PV?
Usually, the PV capacity is the maximum power that you can have at the output of the PV installation.
Maximum power of the PV installation. Is that what you said?
Yes, for example, if you have a system...
I don't need an example. I just need to know what you're saying. So
okay, it's the maximum power at the output of the PV installation.
Maximum power
at the output of the converter in this case.
Maximum power at the output of the converter.
Yes.
Thank you.
Because this is the power that you can use.
It's okay.
Sorry.
No, it's no problem. I know this is difficult to do over the TV. I understand that.
Hey, because now your figure is very, very small and I cannot see you. Because also you are in the shadow. Sorry for this.
Well, I'm doing my best to make it as easy for you as
possible. No, also me. Also me, I'm trying.
I know
to
you.
Do my best.
I know you. I guess you're here in grief if you don't mind. While we're looking for that, is there a definition, or do you have a definition of megawatt peak?
Mi può dare una definizione del picco megawatt?
The megawatt peak in a PV array for a PV field is the sum of all the nameplate power of all the modules that you installed.
Call in the IFB, was there ever a definition section in GPA's IFB? Do you recall that?
Non c'era un sistema dove definivano le varie parti nell'invito alla gara d'appalto?
I don't remember. Sorry, but it's because it's not my job to read all the the document and so, but our normal definition from electrical engineer, for electrical engineer, so. But I don't remember if there is a part dedicated to definition and so, but in any case, all the team can ask all the questions that they want as in all the tender that we had all around the world.
I'm sorry, just to confirm, so the definition for megawatt peak is the sum of all the nameplates for the PV array. Is that what you said?
È la somma di tutte la potenza nominale per la schiera fotovoltaica.
Yes, if I install 100 panels with a power of 1 megawatt as label power, nameplate power of the panel, the module, the total megawatt peak power of this PV array is 100 multiplied by 1, so 100 megawatt peak.
In Angie's project, what's the megawatt peak?
Allora, nel progetto di Angie, che cos'è il megawatt peak?
And let me clarify that. Basically, during the hearing, we've been talking about the South Finnegan site, so I don't want you to have to give me both numbers. You can just give me one.
Mi può dare solo un numero, cioè il progetto di Sinfine Gaian.
I remember that at the output of our engineering design with the optimization that we made using our internal tool, the optimal size was near 27 megawatt peak for both sides. 26 in one case, I don't remember South Finnegan and Naval Base, but 26.9 in one case and 27 in another case, but I remember near 27.
Okay, so we're looking at page 10 of your hearing brief, and I know I can't circle it, but at the bottom of requirement number 2, there's a math problem.
Allora, stiamo guardando nell'atto di citazione un requisito numero 2, c'è un problema matematica.
Is that question?
Well, do you see it? Do you see it or you don't see it?
Lo vedi?
Yes, I see. I remember the scheme. Yes.
And that math problem that you conducted, that 30.20.7 equals 145%, that comes from the reading of the requirement in 2-160. Is that correct?
E questo viene dal 2-160, cioè questo problema del 30 che vale 20,7, oppure che è aggiunta, questo problema matematica, con questa formula.
Yes, it's to answer to the requirement number 2. It comes from the amendment 13 and where the requirement number 2 is fixed at 40 megawatt with a ratio between the discharge and charging phase higher than 145%.
Okay, so if after this project's built, if GPA were to change the 20.7 requirement to say 21,
Allora, dopo che questo progetto è stato costruito, se Angie dovesse cambiare il requisito da 27 a, diciamo, 21?
GPA, sì, GPA.
Oh, GPA, cioè, scusa, sì.
So if they were do you understand the first statement?
Yes, yes, I understand. I'm thinking about what means. Usually, usually if they want to change after the building, it's very difficult because there is to change all the setting and to have some simulation relative to the thermal operation of the DC-DC converter. Because if you want to increase the rated power, you have to change the software and to have a review of the maximum of the rated power of the DC converter. If the DC converter can work or not with this 0.3 megawatt adding, I'm thinking about this. But this requires a design review of the system and also some simulation relative to the, because we have to change the design of the converter. We have to adapt the design of the converter if they change after the building of the system.
Okay, but could you update the software to the new limit if you had to?
Ma lei potrebbe aggiornare il software a questo nuovo limite se dovesse, se era necessario?
Not directly, but after a consultation with the manufacturer of the DC-DC converter to understand and to agree if it's possible to increase the rated power of a machine that is designed and is built with 20.7 as a rated power. It's not so simple as operation, eh? It's very difficult.
And can you do it remotely?
No, absolutely no. In this case, no.
I'm gonna object to this line of questioning. The issue here is whether they designed the system to meet the requirements as they existed, not the requirements that Mr. Rosano is now placing on.
Well, we're trying to...
it's too far respect to the microphone.
It's not a question to you.
Okay, grazie.
What's your objection?
The objection is...
I just said you're talking among yourselves.
Thank you.
He thought you were asking a question.
Okay. The objection is to relevance. The issue at hand at this appeal is whether Engie's design meets the requirements of this invitation for bid, not these hypothetical requirements that Mr. Rosano is now working on. We're not talking about this world, whether the system is capable of meeting those requirements. The issue here is whether the system is capable of meeting the requirements that existed in the invitation.
Right, and we have alleged that you did not meet the requirements, and so now I'm going to probe him about the requirements and how he came up with the requirements, and if the requirements were different, how would that change? So I think it's fair that I'm able to probe him on, you know, the actual requirements and the way they understood the requirements.
Is that interesting?
Okay, well, why don't you start first with that?
Vuole esaminarlo sulle varie requisite.
And then...
Okay.
No, not for you.
That's what I'm trying
to... go ahead.
You don't need to reinterpret for him.
Okay. I wasn't sure because...
He doesn't need to know what we're talking about.
Okay.
Walk him through this once, and then you want to change it after you've walked him through this once, and...
Right. I was just trying to make sense. So the math problem, we see it here...
So you have to get close to the mic.
Yeah, I know. So the math problem as we see it... Mars, can you circle it?
Talking about this one?
Can you speak up? I missed something, I think.
You have to...
So the math problem as we see it in front of us, you test...
Allora, il problema matematico, come lo vediamo qui davanti a noi...
You testified that you got that from reading the requirement that you and I just discussed on 2-160, right?
Allora, lei ha detto che l'ha preso perché ha letto i requisiti che erano nel 2-160, vero?
Yes, in the amendment 13.
And you have described it as a limitation on the DC converter, correct?
E lei l'ha descritto come una limitazione sul convertitore DC, vero?
Yes, on the design of the DC-DC converter.
Okay, on the design. And so what I'm trying to figure out is, if it changed, Could you change the limitation? Can you turn the limitation on and turn the limitation off?
Lo ricordo che sto cercando di capire se cambiava questo, lei potrebbe cambiare la limitazione, cioè può, diciamo, aprire questa limitazione e chiudere questa limitazione?
Usually not, because, for example, if I do it, and it's without a sharing, without a review of the project, and so, we fix the power. We fix the power and we design the system for this power. If I want to change this power, for example, I move all the guarantees from my DC-DC converter manufacturer, and so it's not possible usually.
So it's not possible, or you can do it, but you would lose your warranties.
Cioè non è possibile, non è possibile, oppure è possibile, però perderebbe le sue garanzie.
Technically could be possible, but it's a job of an hacker. It's unfair respect to my declaration of conformity of the plant, of the guarantee of the DC manufacturer, and so technically it could be possible, but as a process it's impossible.
And if you could do it as you've described, can you do it remotely?
E se lo poteva fare come lei ha descritto, lo può fare in modo remoto, cioè a distanza?
Usually not, because the firmware, the software into the converter, usually this part of the software is not accessible from remotely, also for cybersecurity, to respect the cybersecurity certification of our system. It's dangerous, it's a power plant, it can be attached, and so for this reason, usually the cybersecurity level of the system is very important. So, sorry.
In Angie's project, just taking one or the other, how many DC-DC converters are there? I mean, it's not just one converter, right?
Allora, nel progetto di Angie, pensando a uno o l'altro, quanti convertitori DC ci sono? Non è solo uno, vero?
No, this scheme is a simplification of the system. You have to think that, as I said before, this type of system are built using modules. In this case, I remember that for each site, we have 12 different power islands, different modules. Transformer, inverter, DC-DC, battery, MPD are 12 systems, 12 arms that then work together. This is also to increase the availability of the system, this splitting on different modules. And in this case, we use our rated power of the DC-DC is, I don't remember, but the nominal power is 500 kilowatt.
Okay.
And in this case, you can multiply is 48, because at the end is 24 megawatt nameplate of the DC-DC is the sum of the 48 DC-DC converter that we stored. Four for each island.
Okay, so the answer is 48.
I don't remember the right number, could be, but I remember that we use the standard solution that we propose for Ireland, and usually we use the 500 kilowatt DC-DC that is from Dynapower, is a US manufacturer. We have a partnership with this US manufacturer that supplies this converter.
And I think earlier you testified about a plant controller. Do you recall that?
Prima ha testimoniato di un controllore dell'installazione. Si ricorda questa testimonianza?
Sure. Any type of power plant has a
plant controller. Do you recall that? I mean, I don't want to be mean, but I mean, honestly, I really just want answers to simple questions. The last answer to the last question was 48. Okay?
Allora, la risposta all'ultima era 48. Lui vuole tutto sintetizzato. E allora dice, la domanda è semplice. So do you want to ask the question again, Counselor?
Yeah, so now all I want to know is, do you recall earlier you testified about a plant controller?
Prima lei ha testimoniato sul fatto di questo controllore dell'installazione, vero?
Yes.
Okay, and that's a piece of a software, right, that makes sure that the 20.7 limitation is complied with. Is that correct?
E questo assicura, questo tipo di software, che il limite del 20,7 è conforme, cioè che ci si conforma a questa limitazione.
No, it's not the blank controller, it's the software into the DC-DC converters.
Okay, but so the plant controller is not is not what limits the 20.7, is that right?
Allora non è il controllo, quello che controlla l'installazione che controlla il 20,7.
It's controlled by the blank controller, but at the end you have a cap into the DC-DC converter. And the blank controller can go from zero up to the this cap. It's a double layer of control.
Okay, and for each, how does that work? Explain to me, because I don't know, I don't understand. Explain to me how that works in unison with all 48 controllers.
Come lavora questo in unità con tutti i 48 controllori?
Usually you have a set point that is calculated from the brain controller, and the brain controllers share this set point on the all the converters, and all the converters work with the set point decided by the brain controller. And the maximum set point that they can receive is equal to their maximum rated power.
Okay. So just so I understand, what I heard you say was then that is like a shared system, and it's all controlled by one controller, I guess, but it's divided up or developed over those 48, is that right?
Allora, di quello che ho capito, c'è un controllore, però è parteggiato tutto il sistema dei 48, però controllato da uno controllore.
It's the main controller of the plant that control the operation of the entire power plant and calculate the set point, divide the set point, and send the set point to all the components of the system, the inverter, the converters, the batteries, and so on.
Okay, so just for my simplification, it's like one brain running all the systems.
È come se fosse un cervello che fa funzionare tutti i sistemi, vero?
It's not real true, because it's a main brain, it's a master that then speak with all the brain of all the components that are diffused. You can work also with you can have some intelligence into the brain controller and some intelligence at the converter layer. It's not a single brain, it's the chief of the brain.
Okay, and managing all the little brains.
Yes, okay.
Okay.
Che gestisce tutti i piccoli cervelletti.
Yes, thank you, I understand.
Okay, and so correct. Earlier we spoke about if the limitation was exceeded, if it exceeded the 20.7, the system would trip and it would turn off, right?
Allora, se dovesse eccedere il 20,7, il sistema sarebbe attivato e si chiuderebbe, no?
There are different layers of possible alarms. If the small brain receive a command, receive a set point that is higher than their maximum power, they ask if the command is correct before, and at this time the converter stay at this maximum rated power and say, oh, but you want it to go higher, it's not possible for me. And if the main brain command that, oh yes, you have to go, he say, okay, the main brain has some problem, I trip.
Okay, that was a very good explanation, thank you.
I try.
And is that like a physical device, I guess, like a circuit breaker, or it's more of a software talking to each other?
Questo è un dispositivo fisico e piuttosto come un software che sta mandando informazioni o che si parlano l'uno all'altro.
It's a technical question. Okay. Usually, the small brain is a control board. On this control board there is a microcontroller. And this microcontroller has a part of the intelligence that is written in a software. And another part that is analogically, is physically realized on the control board. In this case, you have some software limit, but this software limit is a combination with the hardware limit that you have on the control board. For example, if the sensor that measures the current of the converter measures a current that is higher than the maximum rated current, triplet, without any type of software command and so, because they don't need to have a software command, because this is for the safety of the system, this is for the safety of the people that work. Usually you have a software threshold and then also an hardware threshold that work as a single layer of control. In this case, it's the third layer. We have the main brain, the small brain, and the hardware of the embedded part into the small brain that control the target.
Thank you. So if I wanted to read more about that, if I wanted to open up Anji's proposal and find that explanation in the proposal, where would I go to read about that?
Se io volessi sapere più su questo soggetto, dove potrei andare nella proposta di Angie per capire meglio questo, per trovarlo?
The answer is that I think that there is not a so depth explanation because it's a new standard. Is all the converter working this way? All the PV plus storage system working this way? It's not useful to in a bit from technician to send all this. You say that there is a software tree pinned into the converter that do this type of activity. It's not because if you want to explain all the functionalities of all the components and so, you have to supply a 10,000 page of bill, and it could be very difficult for the GPA engineer to read on this topic. For this reason, this is a standard. It's a standard for engineer, and all this type of system working this way.
And if I wanted to read some description or try to find the term PV charging system in Anji's proposal, would I be able to find that?
E se io volessi cercare e trovare il sistema di ricarica PV nella presentazione di Angie, potrei trovare questa descrizione?
Sorry, can you explain the question?
Sure.
Where is the DC-DC converter? Because we say the DC-DC converter is the PV charging system and you have all the data sheet, all the explanation relative to the DC-DC converter.
I just, because I read through the entire proposal last night, and I couldn't find, and it was fascinating, I could not find the term PV charging system.
Io non ho trovato questa terminologia, sistema di ricarica fotovoltaica, non ho trovato.
I don't remember all the words. If you search, probably you are right. I never try to search, but it's a convention. In the RFD, they define a structure, and then you reply how you want to propose your system respecting the requirements and the structure. It's not important to have a word by word. I know that you are lawyers, but For engineers, it's not usually word by word. There are some definition, PV charging system. We can choose a DC-DC or AC-DC converter. We can go ahead.
So for me, when I was reading through the proposal, I could never understand what it is that you thought the PV charging system was, because it was never mentioned at all. So I was just wondering.
E per me, guardando la proposta, non ho potuto capire che cos'era questo sistema di ricarica PV, perché non era mai stato chiarito.
But in any case, I think that the binding, the building document are not for us, are for engineers. Eh? And in any case, now we are, you are reading, you read the whole document last night, and it's a merit for you and so, but you are a lawyer with a lot of technical skills now. But usually you have a definition, you go ahead, because we are speaking about guys with the same type of know-how, and usually it's not necessary to have all the definition to use the same word in this case. The concept is correct, and we go ahead with the concept. Hold the builder, propose a system with this type of configuration. Three of us with the DCDC, other with the DCAC. For this reason, in this case, it is dedicated to an engineering team. And for this reason, there is not a lawyer document.
So I also noticed in the lawyer document that the lawyers wrote, I can't find PV charging system in that brief either.
Io non trovo nei documenti neanche degli avvocati questa terminologia sistema di ricarica fotovoltaica.
I don't remember all the documents.
So when did you decide to start calling the DC-DC converter a PV charging system? When was that decision made?
Quando lei ha deciso di chiamare il sistema DC-DC un sistema di ricarica fotovoltaica?
As I said, the DC-DC is between the PV modules and the battery, and for this reason is the PV charging system. It's logic, eh? It's not... Now, if we want to go to say the definition and so, yes, but it's in the middle, is the converter that charges the battery from the PV.
Mr. Rossetti, thank you very much. I really enjoyed speaking with you, and I'm going to pass you to GPA's counsel, and maybe they have a few questions for you. Thank you very much, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Lui ha terminato.
Grazie.
Thank you.
There you go.
Mr. Botha.
Mr. Rossetti, thank you, but GPA has been educated much better than we were earlier by all your comments, and I thank you for those. We don't have any further questions.
Noi non abbiamo altre domande perché lei ci ha già fatto delle spiegazioni molto molto elucidante.
Thank you. Thank you.
I have a couple questions.
I'm happy for this.
Sorry, Daniela, I have a couple questions. Myself, I promise to be fast. There are a couple times when Mr. Rosano referred to a 20.7 limitation during his questioning of you. Did you understand this 20.7 limitation to mean a limitation on the megawatt peak, the MWP of the system, or on something else?
Allora, lei ha capito che quando il signor Rosano parlava della limitazione del 20,7, questo era sul megawatt peak o su qualche altra cosa?
It's on the PV charging system output as defined in the requirements. In the IFB, there is not any type of reference relative to a limitation in the megawatt peak. I think that megawatt peak is not mentioned in the IFB documents.
Okay, thank you. I think Mr. Rosano also focused on the fact that at the time Engie submitted its bid in this invitation for bid, that this was the largest PV plus storage time shifting project on an island that Engie had bid on.
Di quello che ho capito, quando ha presentato la sua presentazione per l'invito alla gara d'appalto, era la più grande come PV più immagazzinaggio o storage e di time shifting che aveva mai fatto Engie, vero?
At this time was the largest. Yes, at this time, now is not the largest, fortunately.
How many larger since then has Engie bid on?
Quanti progetti più grandi da allora ha fatto delle offerte in C?
We'll scratch that question.
Elimina la domanda.
I have one more question for you. And for that, I'm going to go back to this exhibit P. Who put this together?
Chi ha creato questo diagramma nel reperto P che noi vediamo, il diagramma lì davanti?
Me with my team.
When was this put together? When did you and your team make this?
Quando l'avete fatto questo, lei col suo team?
We did this February 2020 to prepare this in brief documentation, our in brief.
Does the term PV charging system appear in this poster?
E si trova qui questa terminologia sistema di ricarica fotovoltaica?
Yes, it's below the DC-DC converter, only to use the same wording of the IFV, but to help the auditor to understand the system. Because PV charging system means the system that charges the battery from the PV. And between the battery and the PV, there is only the DC-DC converter.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
I have no further questions.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir. It was very educational.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Can we take maybe a 5-minute break before the next one?
Allora, una pausa di 5 minuti prima del prossimo testimone.
All right, fine.
Okay.
So a 5-minute break? For everybody?
Yes.
For you.
Okay, thank you.
We're done with him.
We're done with
him.
Thank you.
Where's
your next one?
Dario Gagliotti, he's also an engineer.
Okay, how long? All right.
Well, how long do you think it'll take?
Mars. I don't think it'll take.
With everybody, or you're direct? I'm direct.
Well, can we finish it tomorrow then? I don't know how late I can commit to.
All right, why don't we do this? 3:30 tomorrow.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Rather tell them so that it goes to just when they're supposed to.
The translator.
Yes.
So, Ms. Public Auditor, I do have one thing. I thought we were going to finish by tomorrow, but I will not be available on Friday morning. We're going to do the closing then because I have a radiology appointment, which you have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to get. So.
Well, I have some other things on Friday too, so maybe we might have to move it.
Okay, I just want to put that up front. I thought we were going to finish tomorrow morning, so. I don't wish to disrupt the schedule you're seeing, and normally I would try and change
it. Yeah, everybody's had a chance to have things to do.
Yeah, I
had set aside 2 weeks for this.
Yeah. Okay. Just in case.
Okay.
So 3:30 tomorrow, you can excuse your interpreter and
we'll go
get your guy on for ready to get up tomorrow morning.
Okay, thank you. Martician, can you hear me? Is she still on?
She may have come.
She's there.
She went on her fight again.
Yeah, that's right. We'll tell her separately.
We're off the record at 5:49 p.m.
Thank you.